Today's gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, beginning at verse 24. Matthew wrote, Jesus said, "No one can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap and gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you of not more value than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, and what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." One of the keys of Congregationalism is freedom of conscience. Yet some people feel that they are free to do whatever they want to do. So the hard question today is, what is freedom? In a way, it is the question that Paul asked when he spoke of judging. If we really have freedom, then how do we exercise it? How are we judged? In other words, how do we make the right decisions within our freedom? It's not an easy topic to discuss because of how people interpret freedom. The Apostle Peter, in his letter, 1 Peter, chapter 2, said, "Do not use your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but be a servant of God." Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians, well read this morning, said that it mattered very little to Paul what others thought of him or how they judged him. He said that he did not even judge himself. He said, "It is the Lord who judges me." So where can we look to help us make decisions? Some might say, well, just look to the Bible. The answer is yes. However, we have seen radical groups such as the Ku Klux Klan build their entire platform of hate on singular Bible verses. The answer of others might be no, emphatically no, because they feel the Bible is an ancient text which does not speak or address current issues. And yet we are assured by Paul when he wrote his letter to Timothy that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the people of God may be perfect. Let's explore further. A living Congregationalist minister, Reverend Arthur Rahner, writes that the early Congregationalists formed our way of church, and they saw themselves as obligated to a real obedience, a much higher and a harder obedience than a church that depends on rules and orders. Freedom was their treasure, because only in freedom could they be fully open to hear the word of God that the Lord was speaking in their midst. Our forefathers did not claim freedom from God's word, but freedom for God's word. Jesus appeals to our freedom, our choice, our decision for a personal commitment when he calls to each of us, "Come, follow me." Within freedom, how is conscience formed? How do we make decisions within freedom? The early Congregationalists conceived of the freedom in this way. It was freedom to obey the only one who deserved to be obeyed. Freedom to be open as congregations to the invasion of the Holy Spirit. Freedom to know and feel the power of that Spirit. Freedom to be guided and governed and humbled and taught by that Spirit. The early Congregationalists wanted to be free to know Christ in exactly the way the first Christians had known Jesus. They coveted the New Testament faith. They wanted to know the redeeming power of the resurrected Christ the same way that John and Peter and Paul and the other apostles and disciples knew Jesus. They wanted to be free to obey him and follow him as the early fishermen had. They wanted to both realize and share in the life of Christ. We so often see the message of Christ misinterpreted, misunderstood, if not exploited. But the real message of Jesus cannot be misinterpreted or misunderstood, because Paul brought the real message of Jesus down to pure simplicity. He wrote to the Corinthians this passage: "We preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified, to some a stumbling block and to others foolishness. Jesus Christ gave his life for us. And during his life, Jesus told us to be as open as children. One of Jesus' prayers, other than the Lord's Prayer, someone forgot this morning, is recorded in Matthew chapter 11. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hid these things from the wise and prudent, but have revealed them to babes. How can we be babes and yet be wise and prudent and humble before God? How do we so often fall from what we know is the right thing to do and do something else or fail to act? Let me give an example here. If at night you walk into a brightly lit room with furniture strewn around, and suddenly the lights go off, somebody turns off the lights, temporarily cannot see the furniture. If you continue to walk, you bump into furniture, possibly injure yourself. But if you stand still and allow your eyes to become accustomed to the moonlight coming through the window, after a minute or so, you'll see the dim outline of furniture, and you can move around in that room. The more we are removed from Christ, who told us that he was the light of the world, the more we become accustomed to seeing in just the dim light of the world. In short, we become jaded to not living in good light. Light in a dimly lit room becomes normal to us. We become accustomed to living without the true light. Some indications that we do not realize the light of Jesus are shown in today's gospel reading. What master do we serve? Which do we love? Who are we devoted to? And which do we ignore? Jesus was pretty clear that a person cannot worship God and worship money at the same time. And the key word is worship. I find one of Jesus' questions intriguing. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Another way of asking that question is to put yourself in front of a mirror and to agonize as much as you want, and you cannot make yourself an inch taller. What Jesus was really saying is relax. Don't be so unduly preoccupied with getting stuff and hoarding and overly primping, but rather see what God has given us and then respond with a feeling of gratitude. What Jesus is talking about is that he's asking us to realize that we should give our entire attention to God and to what God is accomplishing now. Do not get anxious about what might happen. We can easily work ourselves into a frenzy about what could occur or what we might miss out on. But Jesus is saying, don't lose out on the present moment. And Jesus had real words of comfort when he said, our Heavenly Father knows we need these things. He created us this way. He knows we need food. Good food. Thought of it. He knows we need clothing. He created us to eat. He created food. He created all these things. But what Jesus said was, strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus accentuated we should not worry about tomorrow. Why? Because tomorrow will have its own worries. Not that the worries won't be there. Deal with today's troubles. They're enough for one day. What Jesus is telling us is that God will help us deal with the hard things that happen in life as they come up, which takes us back to decisions. What is important and what is not? Today's gospel helps us to realize and prioritize. The people 4,000 and more years ago began to realize God's disclosures to them, and then wrote one of the great biblical promises and truths recorded in Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There are two ways to approach a moral life. The first is understand obligations. And we have freedom to follow obligations or not follow obligations. And examples of some obligations are the Ten Commandments and other obligations as listed in Scripture. And we have the freedom to avoid vices, anger, lust, arrogance, disloyalty, injustice, impatience, greed, laziness, and so on. But on the other side of obligations, we can follow the inspirations and teachings of others. Examples of these are the Beatitudes, or Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit, four of which are joy and peace, gentleness, and self-control. Obligations lead us away from moral truths and wrongs. Inspirations lead us to personal happiness and excellence. Now, all of us have a tendency from birth. It's how we are made. It's who we are as human beings. A natural inclination toward truth and for goodness. And we also have a natural inclination toward the divine. It's how we are created. We're created to be a people with conscience. And we're created to be a people yearning for the other, the divine other. So deep down, we really do understand Jesus' message that we are to rely on him and rely on his Father. We understand what he means. Human freedom does not limit us. Human freedom grounds us. It gives us the basis from which to grow. So the more we're open to God, the less we worry, and the freer we become. In our lives, we make so many decisions, but yet there exists within us that vital urge to do what is right. And nevertheless, we know people who know of other people who know of other people who know of other people, because it's certainly not people that we know, who know how to turn back speedometers in cars, how to have stolen cable boxes, feel that cheating on an exam is okay, while married get into a wild email relationship with another person, return clothing worn once to a party, to a store for a refund, gamble beyond family's income, receive the wrong amount of change from a cashier and just plain keep it. The popular advertising phrase, "what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas," is a great come-on to visit a city. However, we know that every moral decision that a person makes has an effect on another person. Nothing really stays in Vegas. Major moral decisions are complicated, they're difficult, and most often ambiguous. And yet we can take guidance from Paul, who wrote this: "It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me." And another passage from Paul where he said, "Put on the cloak of Christ." So what Paul is saying, put on Christ from the outside, put on Christ from the inside. If we have Christ in our hearts, and if we have Christ in our minds, then the question for decisions might be these. What are the possible outcomes of our decision? What are the consequences of not doing what we intended? How does it affect every person involved? Are there unknown people who are also involved? How can our decision best be accomplished? Is there another way to achieve our goal? Is it a better way for all involved? And who can assist us in our decision? Sometimes we fail to realize exactly what's in front of us. Common sense helps. Common sense is elusive. If someone could really write a book on how to teach common sense, they'd probably be a billionaire. What common sense is the ability of people to look beyond one's actions to see as many of the effects as possible from those actions or from those omissions. But yet, maybe Jesus' very, very simple statement in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 12, in the Pew Bibles at page 883, should help us each make wise decisions. In everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. Jesus gave us instruction in this, throughout the gospel, but especially in the short passage today, on how to prioritize our lives. Paul told us, don't worry about being judged by others. Worry about being judged by God. And Jesus, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Amen.